So, yeah, good to be home in the land of milk and Hart's ice cream. I know that Hart's is not made here, but you know, I've only ever had it here. And so, you know, when you get memories of good, you know, good memories of life, I think of Hart's ice cream, I think of, yeah. It's amazing. Hey, this is not a punt, by the way. But if the Lord so stirs you, then, you know, who are you to, you know... Yeah, but no, it's really good to be with you guys, and it's great to be with you this morning. How good is God? God is so good. We are so privileged to be able to meet together in the presence of God. You know what the priests longed for? They couldn't understand it. They had to go through a curtain, and you know, there was a holy place, and it was a fearful place. You couldn't go there easily. You could only go there once a year as a high priest. We all know that. You know, with a rope tied around your ankles. You know, out of fear that if you did something wrong, you'd be dragged out by the other guys, you know. But it's the same presence of God here. The difference is the veil has been torn by Jesus. He tore the veil, which means we can come into the throne room of God with a boldness and a confidence because Jesus qualifies us. We qualify this morning because of the goodness of God. So, yeah, it's just really wonderful to be with you and in God's presence. So I'm going to share with you just on the goodness of God this morning. I felt this morning it'd just be really great to re-look at the goodness of Jesus, of what he's done for us, who this God is that we serve, who we belong to, who we are part with in our lives, you know. I'm just put my timer on, so I won't go to my normal 2 hours. Let me just set that quickly. Sorry. There we go. There you go. Perfect timing. All right, so it's just wonderful to be reminded of the goodness of God. And I don't know about you, how long you've walked with the Lord, but I find every now and then I need to be recalibrated on how good God is. You know, I go up and down. I shake. I wobble sometimes. I get tossed like the ocean sometimes. But God always stays the same. He is always consistently good and firm and secure. I always like to think, you know, that I'm on that rock and I shake and wobble, but the rock never moves. He never moves. And I felt this morning that we'd just take a look again at how faithful God is and some characteristics of his life that we can take for us today. You know, there's a psalm that David wrote. When he found himself in the wilderness, when he's being chased by Saul, life wasn't great. It was wonderful before in many, many ways. And suddenly he is being chased. He's been hunted down with murderous threats. And he writes a psalm in Psalm 63, verses 1 to 5. And we're going to read it together. It says, he writes this, David himself, in the wilderness. He says this, "You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. I've seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. I will be fully satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you." David is saying in that psalm, my life is difficult at the moment. I'm being chased. I'm thirsty. I'm parched. I'm running for my life and I'm hiding in a wilderness. But my eyes have seen you, God. And because my eyes have seen you, I know what you're like. I know what you're like. Your love is better for me than anything else. Therefore, I will praise you. Therefore, I will glorify you. Doesn't matter what my circumstances are like. Because I see you, I will praise you and I will glorify you. You see, what God does is when we get a glimpse of him, it changes our perspective. Our perspective changes when we see how good God is. No matter what we face in life, and we face life that can be difficult at times, eh, friends? You know, I don't know where you're at the moment, what you're struggling with right now. We all have our stories and our journeys in some way and form. And Jesus says, you know, in this world you will have hardships, but take heart, for I've overcome the world. So, you know, God over the years, for me, has been such a calibration. Over the years, when I've wobbled, when I've wrestled with life, when life has thrown curveballs at me, when I've struggled with myself, with my own issues, when I've struggled with family members or with loved ones or with work, when I see him, he calibrates me. He gives me faith to stand and be secure because he is secure, not because I am. But he makes me secure because he's secure. You know, he satisfied me by reminding me of who he is for me. God, without doubt, is the kindest person I've ever met. He is so kind. He does not treat me as my sins deserve. And I've sinned a lot. He doesn't treat me like that. He has forgiven me over and over and over again when I've made the same stupid decisions that have gone against him. More times than I can remember over the years, he has been there for me. And I'm sure you can say the same. I'm sure we could all raise our hands and say, God has been that for me too. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for who you are, for your character and your nature. He has come through over and over and over again. As believers, as Christians, we have this wonderful hope that we have a Father in heaven who is for us. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at some examples in the Bible of the kindness of God. And we're going to look at some more examples of God as well in his compassion. So in the kindness of God, you know, I think of the story. And it's the leper that we read about in Matthew chapter 8. And we're just going to read his story, just the first few verses. In verse 1 of chapter 8, it says this. When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. And a man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said. Be clean! Exclamation mark. Immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. There is a whole world in those three verses. There's a whole world of what happened there. You know, to be a leper was a tough existence. It was a tough existence. Lepers were treated terribly in those days. Let me share with you, if you aren't aware of what lepers would go through. Anyone suspected of having this disease had to go to a priest for examination. And if found to be affected, the leprous person who has the disease will wear torn clothes, will let the hair of his head hang loose and be untidy. He will cover the low part of his face and cry out, unclean, unclean. He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. That is from Leviticus chapter 13, verses 2 to 3. In Leviticus 13, 45 to 46, he shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. The leper then was considered utterly unclean, physically and spiritually. There was a stigma over your life that you are unclean. Among the 61 defilements of ancient Jewish laws, leprosy was second only to a dead body in seriousness. A leper wasn't allowed to come within 6 feet of another human, about 1.8 meters, including his own family. And the leper wasn't permitted to come within 150 feet, about 45 meters, of anyone when the wind was blowing. This meant complete dependence on charity for survival. You couldn't work. Utterly dependent on others to live. Lepers lived in a community with other lepers until they either got better or they died. And the only way that people knew to contain the spread of this contagious form of leprosy was to isolate. So it was a difficult life for this leper. He was, you know, separate, and he was mocked. And what does Jesus do? He does the exact opposite to what people were told to do. He moves into the man's personal space within that 6 feet. Not only does he move towards him, he puts his hand in him. Jesus acknowledges the leper and shows his heart for him. And he says, immediately, the man was cured of his leprosy. Immediately. We don't know how many years he had that leprous struggle, but in a moment, the kindness of God reached towards that man and set him free. Isn't that absolutely amazing? Jesus showed such kindness to that man in his attitude and words and heals him immediately from his leprosy. That man's entire life changed in a moment because of the kindness of Jesus. Isn't that wonderful how Jesus would do that for somebody, reach out towards that person? Another person that we could look at to see the amazing kindness of Jesus is the woman with the issue of blood in Mark chapter 5. And we're going to read about it together. A synagogue leader named Jairus had a little daughter who was dying. So he came to Jesus and asked him to heal her. And so this is, let's read it together. Mark chapter 5, verse 24. So Jesus went with him, with Jairus. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. Because she thought, if I just touch his cloak, I will be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you ask who touched me?" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." How kind Jesus was to that woman. I'll tell you why the woman was fearful. Because she was mocked as well and ceremonially unclean, and she wasn't allowed to touch anyone. She knew that if she did that, she would be in trouble. So that's why she hid. Jesus looks out for her, and when she tells him what happens, he says, he doesn't condemn her, doesn't accuse her, but actually says, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your 12 years of suffering." The kindness of the Lord in that moment to reach out to this lady. Isn't it amazing? We see another snapshot in Matthew chapter 9, verse 22. It says, Jesus turned to her and said, "Take heart, daughter. Your faith has healed you." And the woman was healed from that moment. Now, Jesus empathizes with her. "Take heart, daughter." He reached towards her. He came towards her. And healing flowed to her immediately. The kindness of Jesus. For you this morning, where are you in your journey, in your walk with God? Is there struggling in your life? You know, it might be physical healing. Mandisa felt two conditions in the prayer time this morning. I think she might be able to share later, but I think it was on the side that there's pain over here and lower back area, and I think she said left hip area. So, you know, if that's you this morning, the same power that flowed from Jesus flows towards you because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is just as kind today, this morning, as he was 2,000 years ago to that lady and to the leper. How amazing is our God. He is so good and so kind, and he reaches out to us, friends. The kindness of God can never be outdone. I think if we ever wanted to try a game of outdoing God in kindness, we would lose every single time. It's impossible to be kinder than God. Another attribute of God that I'd like to share with us this morning, just as David, when he was struggling in the desert, "I've seen you in the sanctuary. I've beheld your glory. Therefore, I will praise you." Another aspect that we can look at to be encouraged by in God is his compassion. Listen to this wonderful verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. It says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the same comfort we ourselves receive from God. He calls himself the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. All comfort. Whatever you need, whatever I need, is found in this amazing God. There is nothing that you cannot receive from God. Absolutely nothing. He reaches out every single time. And Jesus is the exact representation of the Father. So he was exactly the same whenever he walked on this earth. And so I want to share with us another story about Jesus and his compassion. And that's with the crowds. In Mark chapter 6, verse 30 to 34, we're going to read together. It's just an amazing story. And it says this: the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Verse 31 of chapter 6 in Mark. Then because of so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So right there, the compassion of Jesus for his disciples. You know, there's a lot of needs, crowds of people with needs. And he was meeting those needs. But then he realizes, oh my word, my guys, you're struggling too. Take a bit of a rest. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. Matthew 14, same story, just a different angle. Matthew 14 tells us of the same account and that Jesus had compassion on them and healed their sick. So the compassion of Jesus saw that they were sheep without a shepherd and he wanted to help them. You don't get a better shepherd than Jesus. What did he do? Well, Mark tells us that he taught them. What does a shepherd do? Leads and guides. Jesus leading the crowd and guiding them. Matthew tells us that he was a shepherd to the people in his compassion. What did he do? He healed. He healed them. A shepherd will protect the sheep, look after them, bind up any wounds, you know. He was being a shepherd to the sheep, his people. You know, Matthew and Mark use a Greek word for compassion. And the word is splanchnizomai. Probably got that wrong. I can't even spell it properly. Splanchnizomai. It means this: to feel sympathy and to have the bowels yearn. In essence, Jesus was moved in his guts with compassion. It wasn't just, you know, I see you there. It was, I was moved deeply inside for the people. Deep moving in his heart so that he taught and that he healed and he fed them too. You know, it's the same story of the 5,000. Did you know that? It's the same story. Five small loaves and two small fish fed 5,000 people. And by the way, where was it? We're told in Matthew chapter 14, 21, that the number was about 5,000 men besides the women and children. So it was likely that there were more than 5,000 there, probably double, if not triple, 5,000 people that Jesus met. He taught, he healed, and he fed out of his compassion, deep compassion for the people. That is God. That is our Jesus, friends. And that is the same Jesus this morning. Amen. Amen. For you, regardless of what you need, no matter what your struggle is, if you are lonely this morning, you have a God, a shepherd who moves towards you with great compassion and with great kindness to meet absolutely anything you need. He is amazing. How good is our God? So friends, in closing, where are you today? Where do you find yourself today? Maybe you are here and have never felt the kindness and compassion of God. Maybe you've never met God. Maybe you've heard about him, but you've never actually experienced him. Let me tell you, God is relational. We're not into a works thing, a tradition thing. We're into a relationship as Christians. And if you don't know Jesus this morning, he reaches out to you and comes to you. Look at this wonderful scripture in Titus chapter 3. At one time, we too, as believers, were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. Sure. But, I love that word, when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not by our righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior. The kindness, love, and mercy of God appears to you today, friend, if you do not know Jesus. He is the same God that we've been reading about in his word. And the thing is, it is mercy because you cannot save yourself. Your best acts cannot get you to heaven. It's the mercy of God.